Appreciate Blaine's prayer on my behalf. I'd like to begin tonight on a series of lessons. I usually speak once a month, and I'd like to do a series of lessons on the steps in the plan of salvation as given in the New Testament. And of course, you probably know these by heart. Every lesson I've ever heard Brother Donnie preached and anyone preach here at Mill Street ends with the invitation. And it's either on the board or spoken, but they go over the plan of salvation. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. So I thought it'd be a good idea to take a look at each one of these topics and make a sermon on each one. And so this evening I'd like to do a lesson on the importance of hearing. And we'll look at each one of these in the months that are ahead, look at the importance and why each one is absolutely necessary in the process of salvation. And we're going to look at some examples that pertain to salvation. We'll look at some other examples of hearing that don't specifically pertain to salvation itself, but it stresses the importance of why it's important to be a good hearer or a good listener. So tonight I want to look at the subject of hearing. Before anyone can properly obey the gospel, obviously, they must first hear it. It first must be taught, heard, it must be understood. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Without first hearing, true faith cannot be achieved. It cannot take place. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him." So we know that faith is absolutely necessary in the process that leads to salvation. It's a primary requirement in obeying the gospel. Faith does not come without hearing. You cannot separate the two. We've been given several illustrations that we can find in Scripture that emphasize the importance of hearing. And again, while some of these examples don't specifically pertain to salvation itself, we see that they do stress the importance and the advantages of becoming a good hearer. We find in several places that Jesus Himself made the statement, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You look in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 15, speaking to the multitudes there concerning John the Baptist. He says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Again in chapter 13 and verse 9, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear," as he spoke there a parable. In verse 43 of the same chapter, in explaining the parable of the tares in the field, he makes the same statement there. At the end of that verse, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You see it mentioned several times. He made similar statements in Revelation. If you'll flip over there to chapter 2. In the letters to the seven churches of Asia. Chapter 2 and verse 7. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Again in verse 11. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Over and over again, verse 29. Chapter 3 and verse 6, chapter 3 and verse 13, and also there in verse 22. And I'm sure you can probably go through the New Testament and find several other places where he utters this statement. He makes this statement as a point of emphasis, to place emphasis on the lessons that he was teaching at the time, to place emphasis upon the truth that he was revealing. In other words, what he was saying is, what I'm telling you is important. You need to listen to this. You better heed it. You better put it in your heart. He placed great emphasis on the importance of hearing. And not only that, he further emphasized, when you flip over to Mark chapter 4, he placed emphasis not only on hearing, but upon understanding as well. We'll see that there's a difference between the two, that you can hear and still not understand. You can hear and not heed. You can hear and not properly receive those things that were said. He addresses here in Mark chapter 4 a problem that is as prevalent today as it was in Jesus' day. And it is that many people hear, but again, they don't understand. They don't really want to understand. They're not concerned about what's being said. Perhaps they have other things in their life that they're more concerned about than the Word of God. Whatever the case may be, they may hear and not understand. In other words, what is being said goes in one ear and out the other. That's what Jesus addresses here in Mark 4. Let's begin reading this parable in Mark 4 and verse 1. It says, "And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and set it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, 'Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Again, the point he's trying to make was asked by the apostle, by his followers there in verse 10. He says the 12 asked Jesus what the parable meant. And in verses 11 through 20 there, he explained this. He said, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So obviously we see the point here that Jesus is trying to make from this. He's saying that yes, hearing is important. It is absolutely vital. There's no way around it, but that we have to hear. We have to hear God's word taught. But he's saying that there's more to it than simply hearing. It must be received in the proper way. Verse 20 says, "Upon hearing, one must also accept the word," that they must receive the word. They must bear fruit. It must be sown in good soil. Upon hearing and accepting, changes in lifestyle, changes of the heart must be made. We'll talk more about that here in a few weeks when we look at this, or in a few months when we talk about the subject of repentance. But it's a point made in James when you look in James chapter 21. Or in James chapter 1 and verse 22. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does." Again, the seed that reaches good soil, this is what it produces. This is the result of it. They become hearers and doers of the word. And that's the point that I really want to drive home this evening. The importance of hearing, the importance of heeding what you hear, and then putting those things into action. It's one thing to hear, and it's another thing to put those things into motion. Flip back to Mark chapter 4 just a second. Notice Christ's words in Mark chapter 4 and verse 23. It says, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, 'Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given.'" Again, in hearing, we must be receptive. There must be a desire. There must be a want to learn. Otherwise, these words that I utter or anyone else utters in your presence are nothing but empty words to you if you don't have that desire to learn, to place these things in your heart, to make the changes that need to be made. These are just empty words. There must be desire. There must be want. I don't know how many lessons I've heard taught here at Mill Street. And some of you have been here a lot longer than I have, but we think about the lessons on Sunday mornings, on Sunday evenings, on Wednesdays, the Bible classes, the Bible studies that's been set up on the side. It would be countless how many lessons have been taught in this building and by so many good men. We couldn't put a number on that. But what do we do with these things that we've heard? Do we put it to good use, or do we cast it by the wayside? Does the seed fall among the thorns? Does it fall among the stony ground? Does it fall by the wayside? What are we doing with what we hear? Does it prick our hearts, or does it just pass through our ears? That's the key to this. Taking what we hear, making sure it falls on good soil, and then putting those things to use to make sure it bears fruit. We've got to ask ourselves, are we teachable? Are we willing to be taught? Again, that desire we must have to be taught and to be shaped by God's Word. Look over at Luke chapter 8. You notice here the words of Christ concerning the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. It says, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep and bear fruit with patience." I like the way that's worded. The necessity of a good and noble heart. Absolutely necessary that that's present. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8. Christ here quoting Isaiah. It says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Where is our heart? Where is it? Where is our heart set? Hearing must take place, but it must fall upon a good, honest, a noble heart, a good soul, on those who are willing to make changes and follow the good teaching that comes from God's Word. Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 through 15. After giving the parable of the sower here, Christ makes an observation. He makes a statement about men as he again quotes Isaiah. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 13. It says, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear, and shall not understand. And seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn, so that I should heal them.'" Again, a serious commitment to hearing, a serious commitment to learning. That's what is required when we talk about what it takes to follow Christ. Christ says here that there were those who would hear and not understand, those with hearts that have grown dull, with ears that are hard of hearing. He's not talking about a physical ailment of not being able to hear here, is he? He's talking about a sad spiritual condition here, of those that have grown hard of hearing, a spiritual illness of one who refuses to hear, listen, and heed the commands of God. We need to be careful that these things don't describe who we are. I need to be careful that it doesn't describe me. You look in Acts chapter 18. We have an example of someone who had the desire to hear, who had the desire to abide in truth, to heed what was taught to him when he realized that it was the truth. Acts chapter 18, let's begin in verse 24. It says, "Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Here was a man with a good and honest heart that we talked about a moment ago. A good, honest, noble heart. He was full of vigor. He was full of zeal. He had the desire. He was willing to hear and accept the truth. And then he was willing to put that into action. Verse 28, he worked. He vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. That's what took place here. He heard the truth. He made the necessary changes. And then he became an asset in the kingdom of Christ. Again, good soil that produced bearing of fruit. When you look in John chapter 5, we see the opposite of that. John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40, as Jesus dealt with the religious leaders of his day, people who had a tremendous knowledge of the Scriptures, but were not willing to hear and accept that Jesus was indeed the Son of God, that he was indeed the Messiah. Notice the words of Christ concerning these men in John chapter 5 and verse 39. It says, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." So we see the opposite of Apollos. And like Apollos, these men heard the truth, but they refused to heed it. And it's the same pattern. Isn't it interesting when we look at the Bible, the same problems that existed so many years ago are the same problems that we have today. It's the same pattern that continues today. You get to thinking, if every person who had ever heard the gospel message preached had rendered obedience to that message, what would these church buildings look like across the world? There wouldn't be enough doors. There wouldn't be a building big enough to hold them. We'd be busting at the seams. But we know, sadly, that isn't the case. Jesus illustrated that the seed must fall on good soil. The truth will be responded to by those who are willing. And sadly, those who are unwilling will not respond. They will reject it. Again, in Mark chapter 4 and verse 12, "And hearing they may hear and not understand." But we see hearing is indeed vital, but the intent and the desire to learn and make changes must be present as well. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14 says, Christ said, "For many are called, but few are chosen." And many are called unto salvation. He's talking there about the wedding feast. Many are called unto salvation, but there's going to be few that will hear and heed and make the proper preparation. And that, again, that's the point that we want to make this evening. Again, we have many more examples, too many to list in completion, but we have more examples that we can look at to illustrate both sides of this. When you look in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11, we see that there were some believers that, we're talking about believers here, that had grown dull of hearing. Hebrews chapter 5, let's begin in verse 9. "And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." Again, what had these believers been guilty of? They had become dull of hearing. They had not grown and matured spiritually in the way that they should have. When you look at the term dull there, it's a Greek term that means sluggish or slow. It's the same term used in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. And I think the King James Version there renders that word slothful. The New King James renders it sluggish. So in other words, the believers there described in Hebrews 5 had become slothful or sluggish in their hearing. And because of that, they had not properly grown. They had not properly matured. They hadn't reached that level of spiritual maturity that they should have reached. And again, it goes back because they had failed to learn, hear, and apply those things that they had been taught. Again, we must be careful that that doesn't describe who we are today. We can take a look at ourselves. If we're not satisfied or we notice ourselves not growing spiritually the way we should, maybe we should consider what we're doing with the things that we hear. There's a lot of good lessons that go out from this pulpit. A lot of good men that preach. The television show that Brother Donnie does, the radio shows. A lot of good teaching goes out. But what are we doing with that? Good lessons taught from the pages of God's Word. We should strive to be like those in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you want to flip over there. We notice here what was said of those in Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and in Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything." Again, that needs to be our goal, to receive the word, to learn from it, to make the changes that we need to make to mature to a place where we're able to sound forth, where we're able to teach others about God's Word so they can hear it also and make their own decisions on that. You look in the Old Testament, back in Deuteronomy chapter 31. We have an example there pertaining to the law and pertaining to the nation of Israel. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 10. It says, "And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess." Again, why was the law to be read before the nation of Israel? Verse 12, that they may hear. And not only that they may hear, but they may do what? That they may learn. Well, what should they learn? They should learn to fear the Lord and also to carefully observe all the words of His law. And not only the nation of Israel, but also their children were to be taught these things. The children were to hear and be taught to fear and obey God. Hear, learn, fear God, observe His commandments. That was the charge given to Israel. And although we're not under the old law, we understand that. It's no different for you and I today. Although we're not under that law, we're still expected to hear. We're still expected to learn, to study, to know. And we're expected to fear God and keep His commandments. Christ said in John chapter 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Well, how do we know what His commandments are unless we've been taught? Unless we hear, unless we take the time to learn and study, we don't know. Therefore, it is required that we know these commandments. And we know them by teaching, by hearing, by learning, and then by studying. Again, hopefully we see the point. Hearing is vital in the process of rendering obedience to God. Sadly, we know that Israel ultimately failed to properly heed to the law of God, didn't it? We notice in Psalm 81 what was written of them. You look in Psalm 81 and verse 8. Psalm 81 and verse 8. It says, "Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me, there shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Over the course of time, just like the Christians we talked about in Hebrews chapter 5, they grew dull of hearing. We see that hearing failed, listening failed, teaching failed, reverence and respect for God failed, obedience to His law failed. And as a result, we know that Israel was ultimately punished. Look at what was said of their punishment in Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah 7 and verse 11. It says, "But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears, so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by His Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it happened that just as He proclaimed, and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them among a whirlwind among all the nations which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate." You look in verse 11, it describes there very accurately why the downfall, why the punishment took place. It drives home the point that we're trying to make here this evening. They refused to heed. They stopped their ears so they could not hear. The word "stop" there in verse 11 literally means to make heavy, to make dull. Strong says it means to make unresponsive. That's what Israel was found guilty of. They failed to respond properly to the law of God. Was hearing important? I think we can look at Israel and how God dealt with them and say that it absolutely is. We do have other examples of people who did indeed hear and heed the Word of God the way that they should have. When you look in John chapter 16, in verse 13, Jesus there promised the apostles that after his departure, that He would indeed send the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would come and guide them unto all truth, that He would speak to them the Word of God, that He would tell them the things to come. Look at 16 verse 13. It says, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come." Would that require hearing on the part of the listeners? Sure it would. Did they receive the words of the Holy Spirit? We know that they did. We see all the things they did in Acts chapter 7. We see all the things they recorded for us. So we know that they did indeed hear and heed the Word. Look in John chapter 17 in Christ's prayer before His betrayal and arrest. We notice what He says about how He taught the 12 that followed with Him. John 17, in beginning verse 6, says, "I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them. And I have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me." Again, Christ gave them the word of God. Verse 8 says they received the word. Was hearing involved here? Absolutely it was. We know that they heard God's word directly from Christ Himself, and to some degree they followed it. Verse 8 again says they received these words. Again, it's a pattern for you and I to learn from. Hear and heed, not simply hear. Donnie talked this morning about the process of gladly receiving. That's what we need to do with the truth that we're presented with, is to gladly receive it. I want to close by quickly looking at a few examples where hearing is noted in God's Word as a part of the plan of salvation. I'd like to close by looking at a few examples where people were converted and where hearing was involved. Understanding that hearing is, of course, not the only thing that's involved in the plan of salvation. But we understand that it is necessary. It is the initial step, if you will. So let's close by looking at a few of these examples. Look in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Notice here how hearing was a part of the conversion of the jailer and his household. Begin in verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. But we ask ourselves here, was hearing involved in the conversion of the jailer and his household? And again, obviously the answer is yes. Verse 32, Paul and Silas taught to them the word of God. So it was a necessity that they heard. When you look in Acts chapters 10 and 11, you see the same thing took place in the account of Peter and his teaching of Cornelius and his household. In Acts 10, beginning in verse 34, Peter taught Cornelius, he taught his household there, the gospel of Christ, didn't he? I'm sure we're all familiar with that. This teaching would lead to the conversion of Cornelius and his household. Notice Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 12. As Peter here is recalling to the rest of the apostles what had taken place. Acts chapter 11 and verse 12. Says, "Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in the house, who said to him, 'Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved.'" What did Peter teach Cornelius and his household? Words by which they would be saved. Again, was hearing a part of that? Of course, the answer is yes. Peter taught, they heeded, and it led to their baptism and their being added to the Lord's church. You look in Acts chapter 8 in the account of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. In verse 30, Philip finds the eunuch there reading from the book of Isaiah. Look at verse 30 and 31. It says, "So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I understand unless someone guides me?' And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him." Philip taught him the gospel of Christ. When you look at verse 35, it says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him." And we know from verses 36 through 38 that resulted in the obedience of the Ethiopian eunuch. So again, we ask ourselves, was hearing involved? Was hearing necessary in this? Of course, the answer again is yes. It was hearing that led to faith and obedience. In Acts chapter 2. Donnie discussed this morning. There were those that heard the gospel of Christ, again taught by Peter. We know that teaching took place, hearing took place, and we know that there were those who responded in obedience. And in verse 41, we're told that there were 3,000 added, about 3,000 souls added to the church that day. Again, faith comes by here. Romans 10:17. We ask ourselves again, did teaching take place? Sure it did. Did hearing take place? Yes. Was it necessary? Absolutely. Is it the only thing? No. But we understand that's where it starts. For the unbeliever, the first step in salvation is to hear. And based upon that message of the gospel, a decision will be made at that point. And it will result in either obedience or rejection. If it results in obedience, it leads to belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24. It results in repentance. It results in a change of lifestyle, Luke 13 and verse 3. It results in confession that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. And it results in baptism for the remission of sins, as Peter stated in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Or they may make the decision upon hearing. The unbeliever may make the decision to reject what they have heard. As Donnie talked about Stephen in Acts chapter 7 this morning, as he taught them there, we know that they indeed refused. Acts chapter 7 and verse 54 says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. Verse 57 says, then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. The question is this evening, if you've not obeyed the gospel of Christ, how will you respond to what you've heard this evening? We know that Jesus Christ was indeed the Son of God, that He died on the cross for our sins, and we know that He has given us the plan of salvation. That's the message here this evening. We've outlined what it takes to be saved, the plan of salvation. If you're here and you've never obeyed that, you have an opportunity to do that tonight before you leave. If you have done that, but for some reason you've fallen away, you have an opportunity tonight to be restored to a right relationship with God. If you have any need, won't you come forward as together we stand and sing. God,